Hello, and welcome to the China Gaming Federation podcast. My name is Austin, and I'm joined here today with Jason.
Hi.
So, where are you from, Jason?
I'm from the UK. I'm from Manchester in the north of England.
And how long have you been in Chengdu?
About 6 months.
All right, and how do you like it here?
Yeah, it's great. Weather's good, food's good, people are nice.
And about half of your time here has been filled with virus.
Yes, it has. I worked for 2 months and then I had extended virus holiday.
Did you get paid during that time?
I did get paid and now I'm still getting paid now, even though I'm not at work, but I'm getting paid less than I was.
Oh, that's a shame. All right. So you were gaming before, obviously.
Yes.
And you got introduced to CGF at some point.
It was by Dimek, actually. He introduced me to CGF.
Oh, all right. We got our previous podcast guest on the last episode is who introduced you to CGF. So that's kind of cool. And you guys are co-workers, yeah?
Yes, we work at the same school together.
Cool, cool. So you guys are in similar situations. And, all right, so you've been here for a short period of time, you've been a gamer for a while, and you've had a couple of drunk rants on CGF, which has been hilarious. I know you're trying to keep your drinking under control, which I have trolled you about this.
You have trolled me about that.
Yeah,
yes.
good times. That's part of the impetus for wanting to get you onto this.
Really?
Part.
Yeah,
cool. That and coming over and we played some Rick and Morty Munchkin together, which was good fun, I think. Good
cool,
fun. But you're trying to get the drinking under control now. And in the group, I know you are a fan of Battlefield. You play Battlefield with the homies back home.
I do play Battlefield a lot with my UK friends because it's been like a bit of a staple of our gaming for quite a while. I mean, I've played it for years. I played it before when it was like Battlefield Vietnam on the PC. And then it went through, and then when the PS4 came out, Battlefield 4 was one of the release games, which was, quite frankly, a complete mess on release. But, patches happen, and it turned out right in the end, and I played it consistently throughout the life of my first PS4, but we all used to play together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now I'm playing the new one.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of the Battlefield games. I started out with Battlefield 1942 back in the day, dude.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah.
I never played that one, The first one I played was the Vietnam one.
On Bad Company 2?
No.
Battlefield Vietnam. Okay, cool. Yeah, I heard that one was good. I never actually played it, but 1942 was, like, pretty, I don't know, revolutionary at the time. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, the largest online multiplayer battles at the time on any game, you know?
I think it was. I think it was the first one.
Or at least any FPS game, at least for that. I mean, not taking into account games like, MMOs or something, which are not, like, really comparable, obviously.
No, not really.
And a lot of that, like, devolves into, like, PvP and stuff like that, which is really not large-scale battles. More comparable to, say, a match in Overwatch or something like that.
Yes, definitely.
But 1942 was a blast. Part of my love and fascination for online multiplayer and games like Battlefield 1942 are the just how dynamic a single map can be over extended playthroughs, and how you have these unscripted events that can be very just interesting and fun stories. I remember playing with a buddy of mine at a LAN center I worked at in high school on 1942 being... he's like sitting, at another station. I'm at one station. They're all like blocked off. We can't see each other. We're just talking over voice chat with each other, essentially online,
Yeah.
And even though we're in the same room, but we're chatting over voice chat and, you know, we're kind of trying to find each other on the battlefield, you know, and then, you know, one of us tries to get a plane and, you know, I hear my buddy being like, oh man, that's so, you know how it is in Battlefield. Yeah. Like people just fucking take vehicles and you're like, get out. And so then he's like, oh man, someone fucking took that plane. Okay, dude, like we're running towards each other. And then I'm like, he's like, dude, that guy can't fly. And I'm like, oh, I see the planes. And I'm like, yeah, nobody ever fucking knows that. They all want to use the vehicles, but no one. And we're like laughing. And then there's two planes in the sky that clearly neither of the people know what they're doing. And they crash into each other. And we're just laughing about it, you know, laughing. And then all of a sudden I hear my friend just like, and then silence, you know, and I'm like, dude, are you, like, what happened? Did you hurt yourself, like, over there playing on the computer, you know? It's like, he's like, dude, you know those planes we're laughing about just a moment ago and how they crash? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I mean, that literally just happened. How would I not know what we're, and he's like, they crashed and they fell on top of me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
kind of like, you know, as well, there's times when I go on it and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get in the tank with this random dude and he just drives it into a tree and I'm like, I'm gonna die in this tank. I'm definitely gonna die in this tank. And then you die in the tank.
Yeah. But also there's just like great moments of like just astounding levels of teamwork, camaraderie, you know, putting yourself into risky situations to help out a teammate and stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's really rewarding and fun. And like I said, it's unscripted stuff. You get like these really interesting moments that I think sometimes parallel things like the scripted sequences, say in games like Uncharted or something, that are like planned out, but you don't get bored of seeing the same sequence over and over again.
It's totally random.
Yeah, on one hand it's like, man, I wish I could like experience that again, but on the other hand it's like you never grow tired of it.
No, I
played the series, you know, I played Bad Company 2 a shit ton.
Yeah, I played that a lot.
So here's my problem with the expansion, man. I played the game originally on the 360, and then I bought it on Steam. No one was playing it, and I had bought it with the Vietnam expansion, thinking, I can go back to it, and no one was playing. And I was like, I guess I'll just never play the expansion. I guess I could play with bots and shit, but
it's not the same. You can't play the same game with bots, because bots are like very, very predictable. Even if you put them on like a high
level. I mean, sometimes they're just like standing there. You're just like sniping people, like boom, boom,
like
boom. Especially
AFK
in
bots.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it's a shame, but, you know, Bad Company 2, also the 1943 arcade release or whatever on 360, I think it got a PC release later.
I don't think I played that.
So, with the Frostbite engine for Bad...
Yes, I do remember that, actually. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
So, they had, like, updated the Frostbite engine for Bad Company 2, and then they re-released a series of maps from that 1942, and it wasn't like a full on fucking remake, but it was fucking cool, dude. It was cool, you know, and it was cheap as shit, dude. Yeah, I think it was like a $15 game or something. Cheap. So it was fun, you know. It was a good quick fix.
Well, that's essentially what Battlefield 5 is. It's World War II set, and it's got all the classic maps like Wake Island, and they've added a bunch of new maps as well. There's a lot of jungle maps, and in fact, They didn't sell a season pass for this one either. They get all the maps for free. They just sell cosmetic
cool.
items.
That's, and
so
that's really
about
not EA of
it's
them.
It's very not EA, right? Although they still do have the problem with EA servers.
Oh, EA servers have an issue?
Over the quarantine, there was a few days when I couldn't play Battlefield with my friends, but I could still play Apex Legends.
Okay, so let's bring it back a second. I mean, this whole thing, the reason I've got you on here today is to talk about gaming during the quarantine specifically, right? So let's get into that. So you're playing obviously Apex Legends and Battlefield 5, right?
Yeah,
so,
Battlefield 5.
And I can understand there being server issues. I don't know if I would say that it's an EA issue. I would say that it's an issue with everybody being trapped indoors. Everybody, all the normal gamers and even new gamers are getting it. Like, people are buying tons, like monumental Switch sales right now, you know, like insane Switch sales. So, like clearly more people are gaming now than probably ever, you know?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So, like, do you think EA has a problem with...
I just kind of like to bash on EA a bit.
Who doesn't? But like just taking into account the whole situation with the virus, like were they at fault here, or was it an incredibly high server load, or do you think it's a mix of both? Have you had server issues before this?
What, with EA?
Yeah,
I've had server issues with other games on EA, specifically mainly Battlefield games, because that was mainly the main EA game that I've played. But I've always had some form of issue with the server, but it's not too bad, man. You know, it's not the end of the world. But maybe you can't.
Well, I mean, it could be the end of the world. That's the whole thing. It could be the end.
But really, I could just go and play a single player game. It's not like I don't own any single player games.
So that's what's weird for me, man. I have played a good amount of multiplayer games at the onset of the virus, but near the end of it, man, I found myself just diving deep into single player games.
Really?
I
was totally the opposite. At the start of the quarantine, before our spring break holiday, I decided I was going to stay in Chengdu. I wasn't going to go anywhere because I wanted to see the sights in Chengdu. But I thought, I'll buy a PlayStation. That was a good idea because I couldn't go anywhere for a couple of weeks. So I just played God of War for about 2 weeks.
And beasted it.
Yeah.
Did you beat the all of the Valkyries?
All the Valkyries. Oh, yes.
Yeah. What's her name? Freya. Freya's a bitch, right?
Yeah,
am I right?
Really hard,
I mean, like, she, like the, okay, the Valkyries are hard, right?
Yeah.
But then you get to Freya, and it's just like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, is this another game or something?
Yeah, I know.
I know people who lowered the difficulty that are, like, trophy hunters, and then they were like, wait, you can just change the difficulty and nothing affects my trophy? Okay, fuck this shit. Just lowering that difficulty, which I feel like is cheap. I can't do that. I couldn't do it. So I spent about, like... I probably spent 60 hours in God of War. I almost had the platinum. The only reason I don't have the platinum is...
The Ravens, right?
You got me, dude.
That's one of the reasons why I don't have the platinum.
But, and I don't want to spend another, like, 10 hours tracking down, like, 10 or 11 Ravens, you know?
The problem with the Ravens is if you played through the game and followed a guide and knew where they all were...
No problem.
You could do it. You could just go bosh, 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 and get through all of them. But then if you, there's one. Oh, there's another one. And you've killed a few random ones. Then it's like,
So on the map, it actually tells you how many ravens are in it. So you have an idea, but you don't know which ones. By the end of the game, you're not, like, even if you look at a guide, you're not like, I got that one. I didn't get that.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to still go through a whole area, you know, unless you happen to have cleared that whole area of all the ravens
that's
on your
the
first...
only way to do it.
It's a pain. But anyway, I spent maybe a good 5 or 6 hours just on Freya, man. Just on Freya. Because I refused to lower the difficulty,
I don't think I spent quite... I don't think I spent quite that long. I didn't spend quite a lot of time on it. It's... The problem is that she has all of the best attacks of all the other Valkyries all just hammered together. And a lot of them are like...
And a couple unique ones.
And a couple of unique ones, which are like... And she's almost like a one-shot kill as well for a lot of them. When she slams you into the ground and...
And that's like fucking 80% of your health or something.
Yeah, pretty much. I managed to do it because I used that squirrel, you know, the one that's like you bust it out and it starts swearing and it gives you loads of health.
What?
You not use that?
No, like, there's a squirrel?
Yeah, there's a squirrel. His son, Atreus or Lamor? Is it Atreus?
Atreyu,
right?
Atreus? I don't know. Something like that.
One of his son's special skills. I think Atreyu is a band, actually.
Yeah.
But one of his special skills is this. This like squirrel, and it depending on whether you've got the arrows set to lightning or to light, it'll give you either rage or health items.
Right. So you just be like health boost,
pretty much. And the what's it called? Wrath of the Frost? Is it Wrath of the Frost Giant? I can't remember. The one that's of like a big ice laser beam. That's the Valkyrie Ripper. That's the one that like nukes Valkyries.
I just like basically memorized. Rote memorization of her attack patterns.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And like when I finally beat her, I like zero hits on me. Perfect.
I think I just about managed to beat her. I think I got slammed quite a few times, but the only way to do it is to memorize all the patterns. Like when she jumps, you need to spam arrows straight away. You know, when she's going to do that, when she's going to grab you.
Oh, you just need to dodge it, actually. You just dodge it. You just have to read when she's going to do it, and you can dodge right out of the way.
That one. There's one that's...
Every single attack she does, really? You can dodge.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I was using Atreus to, like, spam her with arrows.
Didn't use him...
I use him constantly, all the time.
He's just not that effective in the battle with her. What you have to do is, like, you have to stun her. Mm. You have to stun her, and then just wail on her, and then... Like, wait for another chance to stun her and just dodge the attacks.
Yeah, that's it, really. You just need to be careful. I think the problem I had at first is I was just like, I'm just going to beast it and then just got killed.
Fucking smashed that chain. Good choice on, going out and getting a PS4 just before that.
Yeah,
so and obviously you had no idea that there was going to be a huge pandemic.
Oh, no, I had no idea at all.
Yeah, you were just like, I think I'll go check this out. Then you were like, okay, I guess I have an excuse to fucking sit down and spend some time with this. But then, and did you stay here for the extent of the virus?
Yeah, I was
good for you,
the
bro.
Whole thing, man.
Just staying inside, getting drunk, and talking nonsense.
Talking nonsense, drinking bottles of wine, and talking nonsense. Yeah, because there wasn't anything else to do for a bit.
Never gonna get over that one time. I'm like, did this guy have a stroke?
He texted me afterwards, but I was like, bleh. I was having like 3 conversations at once, like with like some of the people. I was just confused about what's going on. Like, ugh.
Yeah, you were like, just talk to me about any game.
That sounds like drunk me, definitely. Yeah, I know all about the mechanics of games. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so you got into God of War. What did you do after that? Then you got into the multiplayer. You're doing Battlefield with the homies.
After that, I played Spider-Man for a bit, but it's a great game, but it's the same thing. Open world games.
I get
burned out. There's too much to do. And a lot of the things that you do are all very, very similar. They're similar to Days Gone as well. And it's a good game, but a lot of it is very similar things, doing kind of similar things over and over again. So I just
I think that most open world games, the narrative, like story missions, are a little bit more varied in nature.
I think
for me personally, like, I don't care about 100% completing a large open world game like that.
Nah, that's true.
I pretty much think that the key to doing it is just sticking with the story missions. Maybe having a little bit of fun, and then occasionally having a little bit of fun, or if you need to grind for some money, experience, or whatever kind of game it is, you go do a couple of those missions. But fuck being like, I got a new mission. Checking all that shit.
I think that's maybe the problem that I have, because I'll be like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. And I just go from side mission to side mission. And a lot of them are very similar. Like, once you've, like, beaten up one group of thugs robbing a jewelry shop, you've beaten them all up in Spider-Man, pretty much.
Yeah.
The combat's pretty good. But I found that it's kind of like, it's basically that
Batman
system.
Yeah,
that's what it is. And I like that, but...
I mean, it's also like, been there, done that,
definitely.
But I mean, to be fair, like, so is the Shadow of Mordor games. That's like Batman combat.
Yeah,
but
it's
man,
Batman
like,
combat.
Like,
yeah.
I fucking fell in love with that, man. I was just like, in the Nemesis system and this and that. But I never had any interest in the sequel. I played Shadow of Mordor, and then Shadow of War came out. There was all the controversy surrounding the loot boxes and this and that.
Oh, really?
And I've never heard anyone say anything
great
about it. But, like, everybody praises the first one, and there was too much controversy around the sequel, you know? I was just kind of like, eh. You know, maybe someday, but I, like, got too much shit
to
do.
Too many games to play now.
Yeah, backlog, back... I mean, now's the time to be working your way through the backlog.
Yeah, that's true. After that, I went back and I played Bloodborne again.
I still haven't played it.
I finished it on release, and this time I went through it, and I was trying to go through... I finished it on release before the DLC came out, and... I pretty much just finished it. I never really did any challenge dungeons. Chalice dungeons. So when you go through the game, you can collect these like odd items like like something cold blood, or like someone's like someone's removed someone's eyeball, or some other weird stuff.
Sounds weird.
Weird Lovecraftian stuff. And then you can put them together with this chalice. And once you've used the chalice, it opens up like a, I don't know, there may be, some of them are randomized, some of them are not randomized, and it's basically
that's kinda cool.
Dungeon. So you just, it's just dungeon crawling. So I crawled, did a few dungeon crawls. I was basically just looking
for
like
played Crawl?
I own Crawl on my PC, but I've never been able to find anyone to play it with.
I'll play it with you.
I would love to play
Crawl. We can do it won't be great with just the two of us, but we can do it with a bot later this. But yeah, it's fucking good fun.
You should get some people around to play it, because
I'm down.
Crawl is like very, it's like a very kind of like technical, like if you
the more you get into it,
the better it is, because you kind of like, you know, the upgrade path of the monsters, and you get better at being the hero and stuff.
Also, there's like, I don't know if you know this, you know, you put a name in at the beginning, and if you get three chances to fight the boss, right?
Yes.
And if you are the person fighting the boss on the third try and the boss defeats you,
yeah,
your name's like deleted from the game forever.
Really?
Yeah. Which is kind of like, oh man. Yeah, you know, it like hits home. But yeah, anyway, so Bloodborne, that sounds really cool. Did you play any of the older Souls games though?
I played Demon's Souls. I bought Demon's Souls on Canadian import because I read that it was so niche that it would never get released in the UK. So I actually bought it on release from Canada, and I got the special edition one because I think it was like the same price. It's actually a really valuable game apparently, but I just gave it to my friend because I didn't know. But so, yeah, I played that, and after that I was like, wow, this is good. Like,
that's how I feel about Demon's Souls. I don't feel that way about Dark Souls. No, I mean, like, I haven't beaten any of them. I'm kind of a bitch, and I don't have the focus.
Clayton,
you know,
mate.
Yeah, someday I will. Someday I will. I've got my buddy Leon JR in the group, just like, you know,
I can help
shitting on me. Yeah, fine. But like Demon's Souls was astounding to me.
Yeah, it was,
you know, it was like,
there wasn't anything
nothing out there like it, and graphically it was really impressive. Dark Souls was like not the same like wow factor.
Yeah,
you know,
it's because you've seen it before though. I was still pretty wowed by Dark Souls though, but I wanted it. Do you know what I mean?
I liked Dark Souls, to be fair, but I was just not like, oh shit, like Demon's Souls when I put it on. I was just like that first moment where you come out on that bridge with the dragon.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Fuck.
Some like weird design choices though. It's like, how'd you kill this dragon? Shoot it with like 300 arrows from miles away, and then it dies. You'd be like, why? I remember thinking, I wonder if I can shoot that dragon with an arrow. So I shoot it, and it takes up a little bit of a health, and I'm like, oh right, I'm gonna go and buy a load of arrows and like just fire at it until it dies. And it takes like what, a good like 30 minutes of like repetitive arrow firing. And you can do the same thing, well, you can almost do the same thing on Dark Souls with the dragon on the first bridge. You can beat it by running up the stairs, getting it to come forwards, running back downstairs, and running up and hitting it in the foot twice, and then running downstairs again. And you can do that for like 20 minutes and then eventually kill it.
Sounds like a pain.
Woo! Yeah, it is a pain.
But like, the game's filled with like all these little things you can do, and lore and things. And I think that's why people love those games. So you did God of War, then you went on, you did Bloodborne for your second playthrough.
I've still not totally finished it as well, because I got to the DLC area and it's hard.
Of course, really, that's what the series is known
but
for, right?
I found the most of the game was like relatively easy until the DLC area.
I see.
Well, I guess the DLC's for the fans then.
Yeah, it
probably
is for the fans, right?
So that's cool. So you're still working on that, and that's like great and shit. But like, what other stuff you got going on? You got Battlefield, God of War, anything else? Mm-hmm. Anything quarantine specific for you that you can think of that like during the quarantine, during the virus, is there anything that stands out to you as particularly, you know, iconic of this time period? For me, and I think I mentioned this on one of the previous episodes is that, like, I had long conversations with people. You know, I'd just be playing single-player games. Sometimes just pause it and, like, just be on a fucking call with old friends on, like, yeah, PSN definitely. Or something, you know? Like, and I normally don't ever do that. I'm like, I'm playing a game. I'll chat with you later or something. And I found myself just chatting with people that sometimes I might not chat with for months at a time or something, and having like 2-3 hour conversations or something.
Yeah, I found that. I would have long Telegram conversations with my friends, and they were basically like, at first it was, oh, you're right, like, is everything good? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of like fine, but I don't really go outside very much, and I'm very wary about what I'm doing and like touching my face and blah blah blah, and I don't hold the handrail when I go down the stairs anymore and stuff like that.
I found the tone of the conversations to change over time. Like, it started out with kind of, hey, like, concern, you know, hey, just calling to check up on you, I want to see if you're okay, it's been a while, like, are things okay in China? And, you know, basically a nonchalant attitude towards things wherever they are. Yeah. And, like, life goes on normally, and just they just are like, whoa, this big event's happening. I'm going to check up on my homie in China.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, you know, like, you know, a month or so later, leading to, whoa, like, I mean, I lost my job. And I'm like, you know, like.
My friend, he does a lot of event stuff where he does, like, festivals. He makes a lot of stages and stuff, and they help put on events. And he's like, I've got nothing to do. Like, my other friend is, he makes, like, 3D assets, like, rendering.
Oh, okay.
So he's fine, like, he
can do remote work.
He's just working at home. But in fact, it's really good, because it's good for him, because he's like, oh, he showed me a picture, he's like, this is my PC at home now, and he's got, like, a what's it called, an AMD Ryzen with, like, 2 2080 Ti's
in
it.
Oh, damn,
okay. I know, like, SLI Ti's.
He's like, I'm set up.
Yeah, he's set up, yeah. But I tried to get him to install Doom. I was like, get the new Doom and put it on. It'll be amazing. But he's just like, oh no, it's for work, blah blah blah, and I was like, just do it. Oh yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's cool and all, but I mean, it's also, you know, we've got the other end of the spectrum of, like, my buddy has his job is he really obscure niche job, but he sets up Wi-Fi for festivals. For festivals.
So he sets up
huge ass fucking, like,
yeah,
like Wi-Fi networks that are there for like maybe a week at most, and then they're fucking torn down, and now he's just like, you know, out of work, and I know him through his baby mama.
Oh yeah,
She is like one of my oldest friends. You know, that's like the last people I was visiting in the States the last time I was there. And just checking in on them and visiting the new baby and all that stuff. And it's really a shitty situation because she's a photographer and he's a Wi-Fi, you know, setting up Wi-Fi. You know, so it's like, what? Yeah. I mean, I guess she can do like editing work or something, but like, I mean, you know,
they've got
this like new baby that they've got to take care of. And it's just like, oh no,
very claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I
think they've been playing a lot of Smash Bros, though. They're just like, okay, we'll just play Smash Bros, I guess.
As I've gone through, and you were talking to people on the phone more, I found that my conversation would be on Telegram before, where it'd be like, oh, how are you doing? But now all my conversations are on PSN, and they're all Battlefield conversations. And it's like, half the time we're just getting killed really easily because no one's talking about the game. And you were talking about other stuff instead. And at first it's kind of like, oh, quarantine, we're all inside, blah, blah, blah. But now it's just devolved into just nonsensical chats.
About whatever.
Stuff. Yeah, just about
yeah, everything. I mean, I don't know. After you've played Battlefield for like 6 hours, you're kind of like, hey, let's wait a minute before we get into the next match. And like, I just want to tell you about the dream I had last night.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of chats with my friend. He's a little bit older than me, and he's got a son that's like 13. In fact, actually, I've been playing games with his kid Joe quite a bit. We've been playing Apex together because his dad won't play it, and I was like, yo, you know, Joe, let's play Apex. And he's like, yeah, all right. Because his dad's like purely into Battlefield.
Is he good at Apex?
The kid? Yeah, Joe's good at Apex, yeah.
Is he better than you?
Yeah, he's better than me. He's well better than me. He's probably smarter than me as well.
You're like, oh man, like I got this 13-year-old carrying me to victory.
Yeah, but to be honest, when I'm playing Battlefield, I'm probably getting shot to death by a bunch of 13-year-olds anyway, so...
It's true.
Kids have better reactions, don't they? I think.
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, actually I watched a video about it, specifically talking about RTS games at like in esports and competitive gaming, and you know, a huge aspect of it is just reaction time and how many actions per minute. But I mean, there is an aspect of it that is strategy, that like things that you learn over times. And so there is a balance between wisdom and understanding of the game
but
I don't realistically see, you know, like 50-year-olds being able to play esports competitively, you know? Like,
I mean, my dad's like, what, almost 70? And he still plays quite a lot of video games, but he's always played video games. I remember when I was in junior school or elementary school, and my brother had a Pentium 75 computer that he left at our house, and it had Doom on it. And I remember like fighting my dad to like play Doom. So I'd get home and I'd get on the computer straight away so my dad couldn't play Doom. And then he'd do the same thing on the weekend. He'd get up early so he could play Doom because he knew that I wanted to play it. So we've always had that kind of thing, but I don't think he's not so much into that now. But he played a lot of MMOs, and he still plays MMOs now.
Evercrack,
yeah. No, he plays some Lord of the Rings one. He played WoW for a little bit.
Okay.
But he loves RPGs like Baldur's Gate, things like that. He always played all of those.
Oh, like classic Western RPGs.
Yeah, classic Western RPGs and all the Fallout games, even the old ones. You remember the Fallout 1 and Fallout 2?
Yeah, I have those. Like, I never got into them, really. I've been meaning to, but it's pretty dated.
It's pretty dated, yeah. That's the thing. And Fallout 2 is insanely buggy. It is really buggy. A lot of the time when you get the car, and you've got the trunk in the car, and the trunk is an endless storage
And you're just like, oh.
And you can put all this stuff in it. No, it's not even that. There's a bug that makes the trunk disappear from the car. So all your stuff that's in it just disappears. And the only way to handle it is by just having loads of save games. Loads and loads of save games.
I see.
It's not aged well, man. I mean, they are classic games, but they haven't really aged well. It's like the...
Some games, you know, are fine if you play today. If you play Pac-Man today... It's still good fun, you know. It's simple, straightforward. Now, but then if you play Pong from a similar period, you're kind of like, I'll play this for like a minute, you know,
for a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, right, but like, I mean, I'll play Pac-Man easily, you know, or old school Donkey Kong or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, for sure. Some games age better than others aesthetically. Gameplay, like mechanically.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything.
I think the simpler it is.
I mean, like, Metal Gear Solid 1, obviously, aesthetically, like, the color scheme, numerous other things aged very well. Like, the color scheme aged well. Graphically, it looks better. It would look better playing that emulated on a Switch than it would on my 100-inch screen.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Like, but gameplay-wise, MGS 1, fucking stellar. It's fun. It works. It's, you know. But then you got games like Shadow of the Colossus still look fucking beautiful. But then they got the remake.
I downloaded that, but I didn't play it. I loved that game when it first came out.
Me too.
It was incredible. It was
amazing.
It wasn't the kind of thing that I would usually be into because it hasn't got any direct combat in it. And I usually find if it doesn't have direct combat, I'm not that interested.
There's no enemies, just boss battles. And large open spaces of exploration and locating the next boss battle. It defied like gaming conventions.
Yes,
and I think that's what
really
was so special about it.
Yeah.
And aesthetically, like, I mean, the remake looks absolutely stellar, and it's great that it gets, like, proper justice in the modern age. But, I mean, even if you play the OG, it still looks and plays pretty well. I mean, yeah, it's not fucking like 60 plus frames per second or HD or whatever, you know, it for the time period, goddamn.
Definitely.
I mean, you would look at it today and be kind of like, okay, I mean, it's not like a new game, you know, but you would never be like, oh, that's ugly. Whereas if you play like Bubsy 3D, but then if you were playing Bubsy 3D back in the day, you probably felt bad about it too. So, is there anything else you want to share? Anything else that you're playing?
Let me think. What am I playing? I don't know. No, like, you know what? Since we got the squad together, like, I just played Battlefield now, pretty much, which is kind of bad, man. I don't want to be one of those kind of guys that just plays the same game all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of hooked on it. But I'm hooked on the social aspect of it, man.
I feel you, man. When you have, like, the same group of friends playing regularly and stuff. I mean, there is a fun online gameplay loop out there for many games, you know, and that can be fun for a period of time.
Yeah.
But when you've got like a group of buddies meeting up, you know, 3 or 4 times a week online or more, even sometimes.
It's pretty much every night.
Yeah, I mean, like during this time period, it's just like constantly, you know, and like in different time periods, it's like you'll be like, you know, finishing dinner and you'll get a message from a friend that's like, yo, I just woke up. You want to play?
I can totally relate to that. I get that all the time. Do you fancy a few rounds? I'm jumping on now. You're all right. You're all right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just something to be said about that. That happened to me big time with Siege, Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a solid group of friends we were playing regularly. And just got really into it. And, like, specifically games like Siege, Battlefield, CS, like, all this stuff that even Overwatch or whatever have this
team
camaraderie, right? You know, that, like, really pull you in. And,
yeah, definitely.
And
I do not like Overwatch, though.
I like it enough, you know.
I found it baffling. Because I played Battlefield, I was trying to, like, use cover and stuff like that. My friends were so hilarious.
No, it's, like, really big on abilities and fast movement.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I don't know, different types of games.
Yeah, different types of games.
Different
types of people,
strokes
right?
For different pokes.
Yeah.
Wait, pokes? Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Anyways, that's it.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Cool. Glad to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
For sure. So, if you want to listen to any of our other episodes or are curious about what's going on in China or specifically in Chengdu about our events or any other news, check out our website at chinagaming.org. Feel free to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting app or check out new episodes on the website. Thanks for joining us. Over and out.
Bye.